Morning. Let us start with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you very much for today, Lord. Thank you very much for giving us this beautiful day, Lord, that we can wake up and also just hear from you, Lord. I pray that whatever that I share will be of you, Lord. Anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that I won't share it out from my mouth, Father God, Lord. Lord, I pray that whatever that comes out of my mouth, Lord, will be of you. Thank you. In your son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hi, good morning, everyone. So today I'll continue to share from the Upper Room Discourse, which I've been sharing for the past few times. So last time I shared until like chapter 13 of John. Today we'll begin chapter 14. So let's turn our Bibles to John 14, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 6. Just a few verses. John 14, 1 to 6. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also be. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. So what we just read is a continuation from chapter 13. So to have a bit of review of what has happened so far, in chapter 13, we know that Jesus gathered the disciples together and in the upper room for a Passover meal. Before the meal began, Jesus began washing the disciples' feet, where he was modeling a servant leadership. After that, he told the disciples that he will be betrayed by one of them. And Judas went on and left the scene to betray Jesus. Then he spoke about going to a place where the disciples could not come, by which he meant his death. He also commanded the disciples to love one another, and how, based on this, they will be identified as his disciples. And of course, in the end, he also predicted Peter's denial. So now for a moment, imagine yourself to be one of the disciples sitting in that room. You came in expecting a joyous moment in celebrating Passover. Then as you sit down, you hear Jesus telling that someone is going to betray him, and he will die soon. The same person they had all have hope on was telling them that he's leaving and dying. After hearing that, the disciples must have been shocked, probably shattered, confused, anxious, and sad. So that was the atmosphere and the mental state of the disciples up until end of chapter 13. In the midst of such dark atmosphere, Jesus addresses his disciples. So how did Jesus address them? And that is where chapter 14 begins. And as for today's sharing, I just want to focus on verse 1. So let's start with the first part of verse 1. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Jesus just revealed to Peter in the previous chapter that he would deny him three times. But what Jesus was saying in verse 1 here was not only to Peter. The addressed audience was to all the disciples. If you read, do not let your heart, the your used here is plural in the original language. So what Jesus was doing, he was moving from a singular to a plural audience. He shifted gear. He said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." What he said was to everyone who was in the room and not just to Peter individually. So I think this is very important because we should understand the context of what Jesus was doing. So Jesus knew what was going on everyone's mind. The disciples left everything to follow Jesus. And now he was telling them that he was about to leave them. So it was normal that the disciples' hearts was troubled. They feared that Jesus would abandon them, and they were all confused. They also had a clear cause to be downhearted. And due to this discouraging news, their faith probably had been shaken as well. So Jesus told them that, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And when Jesus said this, it was not just a suggestion. It was not like, "Hey guys, I know I'm leaving. Can you try not to be troubled too much when I leave?" No, but he gave them a command. "Do not let" used here is a strong prohibition. The Greek word used also conveys the same idea of stop letting your heart be troubled. It is not like if you can, it was more like do it. This also shows by the time Jesus spoke these words, the disciples were already disturbed and troubled by what Jesus had said in the previous chapter. If not, why would Jesus tell them to stop? Because it was something that was already happening. Jesus knew that the 11 disciples would face troubled times in just a few hours and probably in the upcoming days. He anticipated this problem by the exhortation of this verse. The word troubled can also mean agitated and stirred. On the night when the disciples should have comforted Jesus, he comforted them. Jesus was commanding them to stop being agitated or stirred by what will happen. And by giving a command, Jesus was also telling the disciples, and in this sharing, us, that it is something that we can say no to. If Jesus stopped the sentence here, it would be like, "Oh, okay, Jesus, thanks for telling me and giving me this command of not to worry. You tell me this is something I can say no to, but can you express more on how? How can I do that?" Don't be troubled. Sound easy enough, but quite possibly could be one of the most difficult things we can do in thing in the world. So how can we not be troubled when facing huge trials, loss, illnesses, uncertainty, or in this case, hearing all this bad news that the one that they had hoped in is leaving? And thankfully, Jesus didn't end the sentence here. He gave us a solution or a remedy or a way out on how not to let our hearts be troubled. So what was the answer, you may ask? He said, "Believe in me." So what Jesus said in the second part of the verse was, "Believe in God, believe also in me." The word believe used here can also mean trust. To trust a person, it is important to know the character and the personality of that person, right? In these verses that we just read, we can see some of the characteristics of Jesus and why we can trust him. For today's sharing, I'll just go through two of them. So the first one is Jesus cares for others before himself. So this was the night before his crucifixion. And as he was speaking these words, he was being betrayed by his loved one, his friend, whom he trusted. Jesus fully knows that in a matter of hours, he will be aggressively and brutally beaten. And in the morning, he will be hanging on the cross, carrying the sins of the world. Christ was literally on his deathbed. And what was Jesus doing? he was comforting his disciples. He wasn't thinking about himself or his pain, but he was caring for the well-being of those he loved and he cares. And in the same way, when our hearts are troubled, we should always remember Jesus cares for us. And he is there to comfort and take care of us. Jesus loves us with unconditional love. He forgives our mistakes and he takes care of us. This is one of the assurances that we should give us a remedy to say no to a troubled heart. When we have a troubled heart, we can tell ourselves, no, Jesus is here. He cares for me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be troubled in my heart. Second, Jesus will not leave us alone. Jesus said in verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. And if that were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. The word room in Greek literally means dwelling places or homes. So Jesus was saying, in my Father's house, there are many homes. There are a lot of Jewish imagery in this verse. The disciples, being Jewish, would understand what Jesus was referring to. But for us, it may need a bit of an explanation to understand the context of it. In this verse, Jesus was referring to a well-known concept in the culture of his day. So a family's residence was made up of various rooms, which surrounded a type of courtyard where all the extended family could gather and live their life together. So whenever there's a new member comes in, or whenever there's marriage, they'll extend from the current rooms, they'll extend the whole house. So when a Jewish young man came of age to marry, he or his parents will go and find a wife for him. When the woman he wanted to marry is found, they would talk with her family, and both will be betrothed to each other. Then the young man will go back to his father's house and start the marriage preparation. Because usually the marriage is happening 1 year after the betrothal. A primary piece of this preparation was the young man building a room onto his family's existing residence, where the bride and the groom would live following their marriage. So this preparation was also done under the supervision of the groom's father. So when it is time for marriage, the son would take all his friends and go to his bride's town. All this time, she was also preparing for this big day. And there would be celebration because they would be finally be together in that place that was prepared for them. So when the disciples heard this, they should understand what Jesus was referring to and that Jesus is going to include them into his family home. On top of preparing a home, in verse 3, Jesus said he will come back and bring them to this place himself. So Jesus wasn't going to go and build a home and then just let them go, hey, try to find the way out here yourself. No, but he said he'll come back and take them home himself. So using this imagery, Jesus was telling the disciples about his future plans, the plan to prepare a home for them, and also his coming back to bring them there. And we as a church are known to be the bride of Christ. So in the same way, when our hearts are troubled, we should always remember that this earth is only a temporary place. The trouble, the tribulation experienced here will only be temporary. There is a permanent home we have, and one day we will be there. Jesus is someone we can all trust in. He said he will come back for us. And that should bring comfort to our situation, no matter how dire or difficult it is. So now we know who Jesus is and what are his characteristics, that he cares for us before himself, that he'll come back, he will not leave us alone. I just want to share a few practical points on how we can deal with a troubled heart and trust in God and trust in Jesus. So the first one, I'll just go through simply. I won't be in too much details. So the first one will be meditate on God's word so that we know his voice and understand his heart. And by knowing his voice, we know the character of Jesus. And by knowing the character of Jesus, we can have peace and comfort in our hearts because we can trust him. Pray to God. This is what we are supposed to do as Christians. We are supposed to pray to God, and through prayers, we can hear him and we can know his plans for us. Third will be looking at God's track record in our lives. Notice when his hands were on our plans and when we trusted him, how it turned out. So basically doing reflection on our lives and how we can see his fingerprints on all over our lives. It's always good to have reflection from time to time, especially when our hearts are troubled, because that is where we'll see in previous times, oh, okay, God, you helped me in this. You made me out of this situation, and I can trust you this time as well. And with that, our hearts can be at peace. And the fourth is acknowledge that God's ways are better than ours, or God's ways are better than others' suggestion for ours. Psalm 118 verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man." If we are to trust any person, there's no better person to place our lives in the hands of Jesus. When we understand this, our striving can end, and we can let God lead in every aspect of our lives. And if we let God lead in every aspect of our lives, we can say no to a troubled heart. So may I invite Marcus to prepare for worship. And if we are willing to surrender our wants, our desires, our own agendas, and let Jesus take sovereignty of our lives, we will notice that his ways are always higher than our ways. His plans are always better than our plans. And that is one of the remedy for our hearts. So as we go into worship, I just want to have a short ministry and a reflection time. So by faith and with prayer, we can give up our worries, our burdens, and fears to God. So during trials and temptations, he sustains and strengthens the faithful. He will not permit the godly slip and fall. Or as Psalm 55 verse 22 says, I'm reading from the Message version, "Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin." So for a moment, let's close our eyes now and just imagine Jesus speaking to you face to face, the verses that we just read. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that was not so, I would have told you. Because I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So are you feeling hopeless or have a troubled heart? Are you stuck in a situation where there seems to be no way? Trust that Jesus is going to come and bring you out of that situation. But first, we must surrender ourselves and lift all our troubles to Him. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us, and let's pray and worship.
Of the Savior, the heart of the Father, you're all we need. You're here with the hands of the healer, with the power of your Spirit, you're all we need. Grace of the Savior, with the heart of the Father, you're all we need. You're here with the hands of the healer, with the power of your Spirit, you're all we need. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name. And all I've ever needed, Jesus, you supply. You're here, wonder-working power. Everything you breathe on, coming back to life. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name. You are my strength, you are my anchor, and you never fail. You are my hope, you will deliver. Emmanuel, you are my strength, you are my anchor, and you never fail. You are my hope, you will deliver. Emmanuel, you are my strength, you are my anchor, and you never fail. You are my hope, you will deliver. Emmanuel. will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name.
Yes, Father, at the mention of your name, every chain will break. Lord, we proclaim, we know that your name has power to break all our bondages, all our worries. And your name has the power to make our troubled hearts to be peaceful and be calm. Lord, we come and we surrender all our wants, all our desires, all our own agendas, and lift it all up to you and your shoulder. Lord Jesus, come and take control of our lives. Be the sovereign God that you are in our lives. Father God, we give everything to you, Jesus. We truly believe in you. And we know whatever you do for us is for our best. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now we'll go into our community prayers. Let's turn, let's focus, pray for all our family members and church members who are going through cancer, working through chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for members that are ill and also in need of salvation. Continue to pray for the Holy Spirit to be brooding over all of them, and they'll also know Jesus. Let's pray for community members who are going through infirmities. Let's pray for those that are looking for jobs at this time. Let's turn our attention to mission focus. Let's pray for Espoo, New York. Pray for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's also pray for North Korea for the open doors for ministry. Missional opportunities and more partnerships in Asia. Also lift up the persecuted church, and especially in the Middle East. Let's lift up our SP weekend gatherings, Sunday service, The Well, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services, activities, migrant workers, class, and all the meetings. Especially tomorrow it's Christmas service, so I pray that there'll be salvation that'll be happening in both services. Let's pray for the pregnant ladies and sisters that are pregnant at this time. Amanda, Cecilia, Angela, and others. Could you lift them up for smooth pregnancies? And yeah, just a blessed time at this moment of this pregnancy. Even though house church season is on a break right now, let's lift up all the house churches in SP that even in the time or in this on break time, that there'll be still be fellowship, there'll still be bonding, and there'll be love, and there'll be caring, they'll be serving together, and all those things in this season. Lord. Thank you, Father, for being there for us, no matter what circumstances we are in. Thank you for never leaving us alone. Thank you that you are someone we can trust on, that we can put our faith on, we can put our trust on, we can put everything, our burdens, everything on you, so that our hearts will not be troubled. Father God, I want to thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I continue to pray for the Holy Spirit to be upon us. Whenever our hearts are troubled, your Holy Spirit will come and comfort our hearts, Father God, Lord. I want to thank you for your message, Father God, a reminder of how we should overcome a troubled heart, Lord. I continue to pray for our brothers and sisters here, or that will be listening, Father God, that, yes, Lord, that you will give peace and shalom to everyone, Father God, Lord. I want to thank you for today, Lord. I will pray for a good day and a good weekend. In your Son Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, everyone, and see you guys tomorrow at Christmas service. Bye-bye.